In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We've started into a series last Sunday, loosely. I know it was a holiday Sunday, and we just sort of introduced this series idea, come to the house. Come to the house. We want people to come to this house. You may be one of those people who enjoy a company coming over, friends stopping by. You may have one of those houses that is just open to family and open to friends, and it's just, hey, come to the house. Doesn't mean your house is always perfectly clean. It doesn't mean that there's always something on the stove. It doesn't mean that everything is always perfect, but it is a house where people are welcome and people are able to just come in and make themselves at home. And that is the big idea of this series. We want people to come to the house. We're not waiting for just a perfect day to invite everyone. We're not waiting until everything is just completely in order and we have everything just set exactly right. We want people to come to the house because this is a real house. This is a real house where real people live. We're not a perfect people. We're not a people that have it all together. We're not a people who always look our best. We're just people that are doing our best to live out the life that Jesus has called us to. But we want many other people, friends and family and coworkers and schoolmates and cube mates and neighbors and everyone to experience this and to be a part of this. In fact, on September the 23rd, just a couple of Sundays from now, next week is the 16th and then the 23rd, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a party around here. We're just gonna celebrate our friends and family. We have cards available for you. These are invitations, party invitations that you can pass out to your friends and let people know. Listen, I've been wanting you to come and worship with me on a Sunday, wanting you to come and experience my church with me on a Sunday. Here is your invitation. I believe the 23rd is going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a day for your friends, a day for your family, and I want you to get excited about inviting people to come to the house with you. Is that all right? All right. It's going to be a great, great day, and I want you to be a part of it. But ultimately, I'm hoping to stir something in your heart today. I believe this series concept is something that comes from the heart of God. And if it stirs God's heart, then it should stir our hearts. How many have ever thrown a kid's birthday party? You've got kids you raised, you had kids' birthday parties. Look at the hands. Everyone has thrown a kid's birthday party. I realize birthday parties have changed a whole lot from when I was a kid. When I was a kid and it was my birthday, you didn't even get to bring your friends inside. You just sat out on the driveway and mom brought you a homemade cupcake or something and you sat out there. You weren't even allowed to be in the air conditioner. Now, you know, we're taking kids to rock climbing facilities and go-kart facilities and I've got a little family member that took her friends on a cruise for like her 13th birthday party. I don't know where this kind of thing was when I was a kid. That did not exist. It did not exist. But you have these parties, and sometimes you find yourself trying to cull down the guest list because of money. We have had birthday parties for each of our kids where, look, you can only bring two of your friends because the thing that you want to do is more expensive than normal. So you can only bring two friends, or you can only bring three friends, or no, you cannot have a slumber party where the whole school comes. You can only let that one kid come, just that one kid over there. You know, you try to weed this thing down, bring this thing down where it is manageable because, you know, finances are involved. And then you have those families that that just invite everyone. You go to the party and it's just complete chaos. Everyone is there. So when we talk about a church party or a house party, can I just tell you today that unlike our parties where we're thinking about finance or when we're thinking about crowd control or we have to start at this certain time and be done at this time. Jesus, when he throws a party, he wants everyone to come. Because his plan from the beginning was to save the world from their sin. Didn't matter what the sin was, didn't matter who had committed the sin, he wanted to save every person from their sin. That included me, that included you. I'm thankful that we are counted in that number. I literally believe that God is distracted by the lost. He is focused on the lost. He is myopic and narrow in his vision for the lost. When you read Luke chapter 15, the chapter talks about a lost coin. It talks about a lost sheep and ultimately tells us about a lost son. He is distracted by the lost. In every one of those instances, he left someone. He moved away from someone and he focused on the lost. In fact, Luke 19 verses 9 and 10, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man," in verse 10, "came to seek and to save the lost." That is the reason that he came. We could argue that point. No, he came for this reason and came for that reason. This over here was included in why he came. There may be a lot of things that come under the umbrella of all things God, but let me tell you, his chief purpose, his primary goal, his motivation for coming to this earth was to seek and to save the lost. Wants people to be saved. And it's awesome that he chose us. He literally chose you and I, the church, to play a main role in reaching the world with the message of Jesus. With his message of grace, his message of hope, his message of salvation, because the church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. How many have ever had a plan B in your life? How many have ever had a plan C? Any plan Ds in the room? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've had things that have fallen apart, things that did not come through. Listen, there is no plan B. Either the church gets this job done or the job doesn't get done. Because the church is his plan A. I've come to seek and to save the lost, but I want to use the church. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And we have to keep reaching, and we have to keep serving, and we have to keep giving, and we have to keep working. We have to keep doing all that we do until Jesus runs this town. I'm going to preach it until everyone claps. So you might be here for a moment. We've seen it this week. We need Jesus in our town. We need Jesus in our town. We need Jesus on both sides of the debate. We need Jesus on every side of every track we have in Newton counties and Rockdale counties and everywhere that we are. We need Jesus everywhere, top to bottom, north, south, east, and west. We need Jesus in that hospital room, Grady. We need Jesus in the house where the family is hurting. We need Jesus everywhere that we can get him. I don't want the tail to wag the dog. I don't want Jesus to be last on our list. I want Jesus to be first and foremost. I want him to be the priority. I don't want him to just be the name that we call when there's crisis. I want him to be the one that we praise every single day, every opportunity that we get. Can we keep doing what he's called us to do until he runs this town? And every single Sunday, every Sunday, we throw a party in this house. Every Sunday. Right here at 11975 Highway 142 North. We're throwing a party right here. And at this house party, we want to introduce more people to Jesus than ever before. We want to see people's hearts moved. We want to see families restored. We want to see people healed at this party. We want to worship together at this party. We want to have fun together at this party. We want to have a party together. Some of your parties are stressful to you, and you're glad birthdays only come around one time a year because, oh, it's just so much work. I'm talking about doing this every single week. We throw a party that we somehow do something that makes a difference in the lives of other people. Let me show you this in the scripture today. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse number 16, Jesus replies with this story. It's kind of interesting. Jesus is you know, with some of these disciples and with some of these people that he's trying to help. And one of them says, oh, man, this is so fair. Won't it be great to have a banquet in heaven one day where we just have an incredible feast? And Jesus says, funny you should mention that. And then he begins to tell this story. A man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So Jesus begins telling this story of a man who held a great banquet. It was an awesome party that he was having at his house. The man in Jesus' story isn't just any man. He represents God. Represents the invitation that God is putting out for everyone to come, for everyone to join. And it's not just any house. It's not just the person that has the biggest house on the hill. It is his house. Throwing a party at his house. Wants everyone to be in attendance at his house. And one of the things that we learn from this parable is this: God's house is better compared to a party than to a quiet, sleepy experience. I realize that probably flies in the face of what many people think the church should be like. You may be our guest today and you're thinking, this is not like the church I was raised in. That music is not like, I don't know the words to those songs because it's not the traditional or the liturgical or the Episcopalian or anything that I was raised with. But hear me, when you search the scripture out, God's house, it really is described as something exciting, something that is life-giving. It's a source of joy. It's a source of celebration. And I know sometimes I hear it's too loud around here, and you know, it's just the way parties can be sometimes. I've been to parties where they had to call the police. I've been to parties that it didn't matter how loud the music was, it didn't matter how boisterous the conversation was, that knock at the front door was unmistakable. Anybody ever been to a party like that? Yeah, that knock at the front door was unmistakable, and suddenly it got as quiet as you know, anything you can imagine. Yeah, yeah, sometimes parties get a little loud, and I hear it can be loud around here sometimes, because we like to move, and we like to jump, and we like to get turned up for Jesus. You old folk are going to have to ask somebody what turnt means. But every now and then we get turned up for Jesus. Why? Because we're in an atmosphere like no other. There is nothing more exciting than the presence of God. There is nothing more joyous or to be celebrated like the presence of the Lord. When I'm in the presence of the Lord, there is nothing better anywhere. It's exciting. I went to the preseason Falcons game the other night. They were terrible. God, they were terrible. I don't think they had one starter on the field. You know, it's preseason. I get it. The stadium is beautiful, but they were not playing good. But it didn't matter, because there were people all around us. I mean, they started celebrating crazy stuff, you know. They had nothing on the field to celebrate. They started celebrating water boys, you know, successfully serving water. Look at him. He just served that water. Perfect. You know. Why? Because people are looking for something to celebrate. People are looking for some good news in their life. People are excited. In fact, I know it gets loud sometimes, and I'll just let you in on a little secret. Don't tell anyone. Just keep it between us. But I'm almost a little proud when people think our church is too rowdy. Someone asked, is it always like this? No, sometimes it's worse. I'm thinking about coming to this church. Are y'all always loud? Sometimes we're louder. I don't know what to tell you. This is not a bait and switch. I'm not trying to pretend that this is some liturgical. That this is some thing that you thought, you know, or someone invited you under a false pretense. I want to tell you exactly what kind of party this is. This is a party where we get loud for Jesus. This is a party where we are passionate about our worship. This is a party where we get excited about baptizing people. We're gonna baptize somebody here in just a few minutes. This is a party. 3 Sundays in a row we've baptized people. I wish somebody at this party would say yes. That's what church is all about. It's a party. We're at a party, and it's exciting. Psalm 122 said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord, not so we can take a nap. I wasn't glad so I could just go and wallow down in my seat somewhere and throw my head back and just catch every third word of a life-giving message. No, I came to celebrate what Jesus has done in my life and what I know he's going to do in your life. I like parties. And guess what? This is the kind of party you get to have every Sunday. You see, I believe that God's house is supposed to be full of music and laughter and smiles and uplifting community. Have you ever been to a boring party? You know, like a co-ed wedding shower. They do that here in Georgia. They invite the men to wedding showers. Just stop doing that. It's boring. Co-ed baby shower. We love the baby. We just don't want to come to the party for the baby. Nothing worse than a boring party. When people are awkward, they don't know what to do. They don't know exactly how to act. I mean, it's, you know, what are we going to do? I went to a wedding of a friend, one of my very close friends, and he's a pastor of a great church, 32 years old, never been married. He's just kind of given his life to building a church, and he's getting married. And so here we all are at this party, and we're dressed up. You know, we're at the reception after this beautiful wedding in this beautiful venue. And, you know, I don't know, I guess because the crowd was sort of mixed, you got these just high and tight pastors that are there, and everyone's in their suit and tie, and I don't know, it just seemed like it just wasn't quite going anywhere. And finally, they had the DJ there, and they had the little small dance floor, and the bride and groom came out and did their first little dance, and danced with the father, and all that good stuff. It was sweet, and it was great, and you know, it was like, hey, you got this venue rented for the next couple of hours, and you've already paid this DJ, and I don't know, he just played the right song. I don't know which song it was, but all of a sudden everybody got out there, and we were having to pay people. Listen, I need you to delete that video. You got to delete that. That cannot go on to social media. What happened? It turned into a party, a clean party. I'm not talking about people being, I'm just talking about good, clean fun where people who couldn't dance had just taken off all abandon and were just dancing with all of their heart. It was hilarious to watch them and to see people just enjoy. If you go to a boring party, you never will forget it. But if you go to a good party, it'll be a memory that sticks with you forever. Forever. That's the kind of party. You know why? Because there's enough hell in the world that we live in. We need to experience a little heaven when we're in this house on Sundays. Yeah. I can't think of any greater failure than for you to come to church depressed, discouraged, down, and leave feeling the same or worse than when you arrived. I'm thankful for a life-giving, life-changing, spirit-filled church. One where we leave smiling and we leave with our heads held high. Does that mean my to-do list got any shorter for the upcoming week? No. Does that mean the bills I owe became any less than when I arrived? No. But I'm leaving with optimism. I'm leaving with my head held high. I've been to a party that made me believe everything is going to be all right. Listen, we got too much depression in this world. We've got too much depression in this church. Too many people on pills for anxiety. Too many pills just trying to survive throughout their day. I want some Jesus in this house. I want some power in this house where people can be built up and uplifted in their lives. So that's what Jesus said. That's what he began to tell them. And then look at verse 18. They all began to make excuses. One said, I just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I'm not going to be there. Verse 21, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. Talking today about getting the word out. He said, I'm throwing a party and I want you to invite as many people as you can. I'm not talking about just inviting that one cousin that has owed you since she was 17 years old. And when you hand her this, she's not going to be able to say no. I'm talking about inviting everyone. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter who they are, inviting everyone. He said, I want you to invite everyone to come to this party. But as soon as they started inviting, here came the excuses. He sent a ton of invites and tons of people turned him down. Listen, I could spend time preaching this point and it could seem really negative. And that's not what I want, but I do want you to realize this, because it is important. God takes his party invitations seriously. Takes them seriously. We've all been invited. It's something we should take seriously. Because I've found it amazing the things that folk allow to come between them and the party that Jesus is throwing every week. Ooh, it's quiet in this church. I'm amazed at the things that we call important in 2018. The things that distract us, the things that keep us from being in God's house. No, that's what I've been trying to tell you the last couple of Sundays. Be every Sunday people. Be people that I want to see what is happening in God's house, because all of us can come up with excuses. All of us can come up with reasons. But you know what we need? We need a good case of the FOMO. You old folk will need the young folk to explain something. Anybody know what FOMO is? F-O-M-O. That's fear of missing out. You need a good case of the FOMO. What? Why are you here? Because I didn't want to miss anything. What are you doing? I was afraid if I didn't come, I was going to miss something great. I didn't want to miss because I know something good is going to happen. I don't want to miss out on all that Jesus is doing in this house. I probably need to confess today. I probably need to come clean with you today. And I blame it on my parents, because they didn't make it optional for me. They forced me to attend every church service every time there was something going on in the building. We live 35 or 40 minutes away from the church. It didn't matter that revival was Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. And yes, I had homework. And sometimes I did homework while someone was up preaching something I wasn't even sure that I understood. But we didn't miss it. I just have to confess that I've had a drug problem. They drug me to church every time the doors were opened. But guess what? It did not hurt me. We are so scared of our kids. What is wrong with us that our 12-year-olds are deciding whether or not we're going to go to church or be faithful to the things of God? You ought to rebuke the devil in your house and the 12-year-old. I'm not putting them together yet. Why? Because this matters. We've made church optional. We've made God optional. He is not optional. Have I been here long enough to just be a good pastor and tell you the truth in love? Jesus is not optional. At some point in your life, you're going to need him. Drag your family to church, Dad. Drag your family to church, Mom. Drag your family to church. Well, if they don't want to come, I can't force them. How far you want to go with that argument? Let me move off of that. Because here's the reality. At this party, there's healing, there's hope, there's encouragement. There's engagement. There's purpose. And I need that. I need that. I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. And God is serious about his invitations. We need to be serious about responding to him. It's also clear in this story that people prepared meals and set tables and prepared the elements for this party. They gave the invitations. Brings me to another important point. We never work more intimately with God than when we are serving His house. We never work more intimately with God than when we are serving His house. Listen, you may invest in a lot of things that earn you more money in this world, but you will never invest in anything that will bring more fulfillment or more purpose to your life than to invest in the church. When you serve God's house, we set the table, we prep the house for people to come to a party that features the goodness, the grace, the forgiveness of our God. And one of the greatest joys, one of the greatest joys you will ever experience is to set the table so that someone else can have a seat in the house of God. We have Discover Church today. You can be a part of Discover Church. You can get on the team that helps set the table every Sunday. Doesn't require a certain amount of talent. It doesn't require anything beside a willing heart, because God uses ordinary people to prepare an extraordinary place for others to have a seat at the table. I gotta hurry, but look at what happens next, because it speaks so deeply to the heart of God. Because some have refused this invitation. They've said, listen, I just got married, I'm not coming. Someone else is saying, I just got 5 pair of oxen and I got to figure out how they work. Let me give you some everyday language. I just got a new lawnmower and I just want to try it out, see how it works. I got this going on and that going on, and I've got this happening and that happening. We come up with all kinds of reasons, but look at what Jesus said, Luke 14, verse 21. He said, go quickly into the streets and the alleyways of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find to come so that the house will be full. Can you sense the urgency? Can you feel the importance of this thing? Jesus is saying, I want my house to be full. I want people to be found that are lost. I want to save people, and I need your help to fill the house. You know why? Because God wants His party to be packed. He sees every empty seat, every empty chair, because He sees every empty heart in Covington and Conyers and Oxford and Social Circle. Up and down I-20, He sees every soul that has been drained of life. He sees every empty marriage. He sees every empty dream. He wants this house party to be packed every single weekend. We have seats available. You know what, Miss Lydia, this seat close by you today, this seat, brand new, is about $45. Somebody paid about $40, maybe $50 for this seat. It's an important seat. I value this seat because this seat is a place for someone to come, have a seat, and experience life change. But can I tell you that Jesus paid a lot more for someone to have the privilege to come and sit in this $40 seat? He paid the ultimate price. And if he's willing to pay the ultimate price, then what price am I willing to pay? What length am I willing to go to make sure that seats are filled in this house? Front rows are filled and second rows are filled and people all over this building. I watched guests come in today and the guests are just looking. They're looking for a back row to sit on because they don't know anyone. They feel conspicuous. They're not sure about the environment that they're in. But listen, we ain't got any back rows available. I'm sorry. Because our saints really like the back rows. Y'all better come get me to take me to Discover Church because I feel like preaching in this room. I love you, but I am going to tell you the truth. We have to get much less self-centered and get much more Savior-centered. What can we do in this environment to make sure that it is conducive for our guest? Well, I mean, is everything about the guest, Pastor? Isn't this our church? Sure, it is. And I can answer that question only if I juxtapose it with what Jesus said. His motivation was, came to seek and to save the lost. That's what church is all about. Well, what about me and my problems? I promise you, if you will come and serve someone else's problems, you'll forget about yours. Ah, that's just preacher talk. No, that's testimony. You're just saying that. No, I've lived that. Can't tell you how many times I've preached sick as a dog. But every minute that passed, me trying to help somebody else, I started feeling better in my own body. Because if I stop focusing on what's going on in my life and get focused on the heart of the Lord and what he wants, man, that's what the old song said. If I'll just look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Those things get smaller. And the things that Jesus is passionate about get bigger and bigger. So if I need to leave a back row open so that our guests come in and feel comfortable, get ready. There's going to be more guests coming, but if we're not ready to welcome them and love them and say, hey, you can have my seat, I'll go take that awkward one on the front row. It seats just the same. You just may get a little spit on you from the preacher, but it's all right. I know the preacher, and I don't mind getting spit. What are we doing? We're trying to set the atmosphere for a perfect party. Trying to have a party around here. He said, go, tell people. You know why Jesus is excited? Because he knows what he can do. He knows if he can get an empty heart into an empty seat. He knows the life change that he can bring. He can fill their life with joy and put a smile on their face. He can refresh their soul and encourage their heart. And here's the reality. Every chair is a chance for someone to encounter Jesus. One of my mentors says it all the time. If I call him this afternoon at some point in that conversation, how was church, son? How'd it go at your place? Aha, son, church is a chance. Going to say it every time I talk to him. Church is a chance. If we can get them to the party, if we can let the master go to work, that's why we serve, that's why we invite, that's why we pray for growth, that's why we prayed for revival all week. Did anybody join me in that? We talked about that last week. I, I got at least one text message this week. Pastor, I'm praying for revival. Thank you. I prayed for revival every day this week. God, send revival. It's why we invest our finances, because God wants his house full. He said, go quickly into the streets and the alleyways. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. He said, what you've ordered, we've done it, but there's still room. You hear the urgency of God's heart. It's like, reach out to somebody, like right now, like text someone right now. Like call someone on the way home from church. Make a list of five people that you want to make sure are here on the 23rd. Who am I going to invite? And then I'm not just going to pass them out. I'm not just going to walk into a business and set a stack on a table. I want to personally invite someone. Reach to someone. Jesus, lead me to hurting hearts and broken homes and messed up lives. Urge them. King James says to compel them. The word literally means to wrestle, to force. You're probably not going to be able to handcuff anybody and get them here. And I'm not saying you have to be offensive in your approach. But something down in my heart doesn't want to take no for an answer. I believe God wants to change your life. Everywhere there's emptiness, there's an empty chair waiting for them. Everywhere. We've got more chairs in this building than we know what to do with. If you know an empty heart, we've got an empty seat. We've got an atmosphere. We've got a God. Hey, come to the house. Come to the house. You may be sitting in this room today. No one even has to hand you this invitation because somehow you're already here. No one's got to invite you because you're here. I've been noticing on our Connect cards, I see them every week. I pray over them every week. I write handwritten notes to every single one of them. Staff doesn't do it for me. I do it. Pray over them. And I'm amazed at how many times they check the box. It's just our own curiosity. How did you hear about us? Drive by. Facebook. Google. Those are the people that no one has invited. That's just the people that are hungry. I'm going to try that church. And if they don't have what I need, I'm going to try that one next week. If that one doesn't have what I need, I'm going to give up altogether and just forget that the church is an answer. Let it never be said of this house that we mailed in any Sunday and said, well, I don't know what it was. We didn't give our best that day. No, 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 no. If I'm on this stage, and frankly, anybody I invite to be on this stage, we'll give 100% of everything that we have. You know why? Because Jesus paid the price. You may be in this house right now saying, hey, 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 I am one of those blind, one of those lame, one of those broken, one of those empty people. Thank God there was a seat for me. Thank God we had a seat for you today. Someone set the table so that I could come to the party. Someone set the table so that you could come to the party. Are you empty today? Guess what? Jesus would love to fill your life full. Anybody believe that today? Gotta believe it. Hallelujah. I feel God in this room. Why don't you bow your heads with me across the room?